You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Office ensured Texas residents the safety, constitutional rights, private property rights, and civil liberties will not be infringed during the 8-week training program. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome to Talented People. Today is Wednesday, April 29th, already at 4:05 in the afternoon. I hope you're having a great day. We're broadcasting out of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Studios here in Flemington, New Jersey. And I have some very special guests in studio today. There's three gentlemen here from the New Jersey Sandy Recovery Office. I'll give you an introduction to them in just a moment. But let me update you on the weather if you happen to be in this area of New Jersey. Today, partly cloudy with a low around 47. Calm wind becoming northeast about 6 miles per hour. Thursday, slight chance of showers after 9 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 64. And then Thursday night, chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 44. Friday, slight chance of showers again, cloudy with a high of 57. And then mostly cloudy with a low around 41 on Friday night. Partly sunny. I'm looking forward to this. I hope you are too. On Saturday, it's going to be high about 68. And then partly cloudy on Saturday night with a low of 45. Sunny all day on Sunday with a high of 73. And mostly clear with a low around 50 on Sunday night. And then again on Monday, sunny with a high of 76, which is typical for everybody going back to work, where it's always nice on a Sunday. So anyway, welcome back to the show here. And I want to thank our station manager, Richard G, for acting in for me or filling in on Talented People from 3 to 4 today with opulent events. that their company is amazing. I actually have had a number of times running through and over and around, and I always say, gosh, I got to call them and have my event with them. So again, thank you, Richard G., and welcome everyone into the studio today. We have Kurt Wellrich, is that right?
Wyrick,
okay. And you are the Acting Chief of Staff for New Jersey Sandy Recovery Office. And then we have Art Getz. Art's been here a couple times. He's been at both of our recent cybersecurity events. We appreciate that. He's with the private sector and businesses for the New Jersey Sandy Recovery Office. And then also Daryl Habish. And he's with media relations. And it's always very, very, very special for when you guys are here, because what you do is so important to everybody out there listening. And so we're really going to take this next hour just to find out what's new, what's going on with the continuing preparedness plans. And if you will take a second, each of you, and introduce yourselves. Let's start with you, Kurt. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kurt Wyrick. I'm currently the Chief of Staff for FEMA's New Jersey Sandy Recovery Office. Prior to working for FEMA, I spent 25 years working with the American Red Cross in their disaster services unit. I've been involved in helping communities prepare for, respond, and recover to disasters or from disasters since 1989 when I was a college student. I've gone to 40 some odd states across the country, working either on preparedness or disaster response assignments. And I've seen communities really come together to do amazing things to get ready for and recover from disasters.
Extraordinary, too. I know that, you know, from your bio, we were reading about, you know, how many people that you are actually in charge of looking out for everybody else. Yeah. And then it goes back into 9/11 and then all the way through. And so we really do. We're looking forward to hearing a lot about what you have to say today. Art, why don't you tell us a little bit about you from the private sector and business side?
Well, my background is basically advertising and marketing. I was with the Star Ledger newspaper for about 13 years as the retail sales manager. So as far as emergency management is concerned, I guess of all of us here, I'm the newbie, the rookie of it. But it's been, I can't say it's been fun because of the subject matter, but it certainly has been very interesting. In the private sector, we basically deal with just that, the businesses, the chambers of commerce. We're there with the academia, unions, or economic organizations. We kind of like to say we don't deal with the governments and we don't deal with the private homeowners, but everything in the middle is who we try to bring as much information and help to as we can.
And everybody needs to know. I think a lot of times, you know, what you do as far as well, Daryl, bringing the attention of the services that are available to a lot of the business owners, that sometimes they don't even realize that there is this arm of you all out to protect and to explain and share and educate. Yeah. Daryl?
Yeah, absolutely. And Daryl Habish out of Minneapolis, although I feel like a Jersey boy now. Got here a week after Sandy hit. And thank you so much for allowing us to come on your show. And I'd like to thank Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio. You guys have really been a partner from the very beginning, I think, in this journey that we're all going through here in New Jersey. And one of the things that really we want to talk about today, and you guys can expand on all this, is preparedness. It's been two and a half years. And I think, you know, this is a long and it's a difficult journey, and people are getting back on their feet, and some are faster than others. But we always have to look forward. And Kurt, you were talking about an interesting story before about being prepared and how to mitigate ahead of time, because it will happen again. I mean, there's no, maybe not to the same severity, but we live on the coast, the shore. I live on the shore. So it's, you know, we're going to get these storms again.
Right. Well, and I think it's important for our listeners to understand that preparedness is not just for the big disaster, for the next Sandy or the next Irene. Preparedness helps you deal with any sort of disaster that may occur. For example, what do you think the number one disaster is that strikes people in the United States? Any ideas?
I don't know. Is that a tornado?
Flooding.
No.
Nope. Really? Tornadoes.
No, Art, you got an idea?
Fire.
Exactly.
Oh, there you go.
Home fires strike more people than anyone else. And And a home fire may only affect one or 10 families in an apartment building or 40 families. There was a news article just 2 days ago. There was a 40 families were affected by an apartment fire in Eatontown. For those 40 families, that is as big a disaster as Sandy was for the thousands of people. Affected them the same way. So the preparedness actions that you take to become more prepared for a Sandy are just as useful for dealing with a fire, a flood, or tornado, a long-term power outage in January, or a long-term power outage in July. The preparedness.
I don't want to remember those power outages. Oh, boy. No, you're right. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. And the seasons are important, and it is true. I mean, you know, I honestly just forgot all about the power shortages of all the other catastrophic issues. That's top of the list. But
yeah.
Go, yeah.
So, and I, as I told you before the show, I will go on until
I want you to.
Art reaches over and grabs me and says, "Hey, it's my turn to talk about business preparedness, which is just as important." Mm-hmm. But there's this is something I'm really passionate about because in my experience, I've seen what happens after disaster to thousands of people across the country. And some simple preparedness things can make a world of difference. You know, thinking about it ahead of time in an organized fashion, mm-hmm. Being informed about what could happen to me in Flemington or in Aurora, Illinois, or wherever, and what do I need to do to get ready? I have a funny story that I'll share with you. You know, I've been married for a little over 10 years. And knew my wife for a long time before that, and she knew what I was. She knew what she was getting into when she got involved with me, and kind of my disaster juju eventually wore off on her. So we had, you know, we had some power outages. They were short term in the mid 2000s, and then we had a storm that caused us to be without power for about 3 or 4 days, and we lost everything in our fridge and our freezer and all that. And after that, you know, my wife was like, "Okay, when a disaster hits, you're going to be gone. So you can't take care of everything. So I'm going to create a disaster plan."
She has her preparedness plan.
She created it.
I like the way she thinks.
She made a plan, and I came home one day, and she's like, "Honey, I'm going to tell you what our plan is. Not that you're going to be around, because I know that you'll be gone, but I just want you to know that we have a plan." And she built a kit. She did the four things that we tell people to do. She was got informed from me, because I told her about everything that's going on. She made a plan. Okay, this is what we're going to do, and got the kids involved. And she made a kit. Had all the kids have a kit. She had a kit for the dogs and the cat. And she knew where she was going to go. She couldn't stay there. We're still working on the whole house generator thing.
I was going to say, you know, that is something everybody should think about now and buy it cheap, not for $1,700. Right.
Yeah. And she got involved because she started talking about that with her circle of friends and her circle of business acquaintances, about, especially after Sandy, when we were out of we were out of power for 8 days. Fortunately, that was the extent of our impact. But she talked about how, you know, she's very, very proud and understandably very proud of how she prepared for and dealt with Sandy. And if it wasn't for the fact that we had that winter storm, you know, 5 days after Sandy, you know, if the temperature hadn't dropped below freezing, she would have been able to stay in the house without a problem. It's just that the thing that we didn't have, which she has since made me purchase, was a safe portable heating system. Because, you know, there's many, you know, you can buy, you know, propane, you know, heaters and things like that, most of which are not safe for indoor use, so you have to be careful. Mm-hmm. But she found, she did the research. It amazes me. She did all the research and she said, "Kurt, go buy that."
That's so great.
So it's, but those things that she does, those things that individuals do, they help in any sort of disaster. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to be expensive. And that's one of the myths that people have around that stops people from doing preparedness. Oh, this is going to cost me money, and I don't have money. I'm living paycheck to paycheck or below paycheck to paycheck or whatever. I don't have money. And yes, there are some things that you know, if you choose to do, if you want to go out and buy a generator or things like that, those cost money. But there are many things that you can do that don't cost any money. Knowing what could happen, knowing what your community's plans are. Something happens in your community, what is the government going to do? Where would shelters be open? What are the evacuation routes? How do I, if I don't have my own transportation, how do I get evacuated? What are the plans? Understanding all that. What happens if my children are at school and a disaster happens? And what are the school's plan for safeguarding the children? Those are all things that cost nothing but time and some energy to figure out.
Which, and when they do find these things out, it makes the miserable time so much better because it is being prepared. Yeah. We have to go to our first break. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. You're listening to a conversation right now. We have the New Jersey Sandy Recovery Team in studio today. Kurt Wayrick, who's the acting chief of staff, speaking with us right now. And then we also have Art Getz, who's private sector for business, and Daryl Habish, which is here for media relations. We'll be right back. Stay with us because we're going to learn more about preparedness and what's been going on since Sandy and what's going to be shared with you on how we can better handle these in the future. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Okay, it's 4:20 here in the afternoon already on April 29th. I hope you're having a great day, and thank you so much for listening in to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. We have the New Jersey Sandy Recovery Office Management Team in studio, and we were just speaking before the break about preparedness. So we're going to go back, and Kurt, let's resume back to, he's acting chief of staff over there. Tell us about what's on your mind and what else we're going to learn from you.
Sure. Before the break, I was talking about one of the myths that people have or misconceptions about being ready, about preparedness in terms of it costs money and I don't have money. Another one of the common myths that we hear is, well, a disaster is going to happen and there's nothing I can do. It doesn't matter what I do. It's not going to help me. It's not going to help my community. And the reality is that individuals matter. People make a difference. And you can make a difference in a number of different ways when you increase your own preparedness. You know, the first and kind of the most obvious way is that the better prepared you are as an individual, the less resources are going to be required to help that community recover. and those resources can then be targeted to other areas in need. And the idea is, you know, around resiliency, and that's kind of where preparedness feeds into resiliency, is to be able to bounce back from adversity, in this case a disaster, as quickly and as easily as you can. So if as an individual or as a family you're better prepared, then you're helping your community be better prepared and more resilient. Another one of the myths that we hear a lot is, well, you know, I can't take care of myself. I have a disability. I'm in a wheelchair. I use insulin. Whatever it may be. And the truth is, yes, about 20 to 25% of the population has some level of disability. There's a whole variety and of things. However, there is a huge amount of information and support that's out there to help individuals with disabilities, individuals who have access and functional needs, to prepare for and deal with disasters. FEMA has a disability integration advisor at every region who works with local and state government and communities and helping to integrate disability awareness and education and preparedness into everything they do. At the state of New Jersey level, there is a statewide task group, advisory group that works with all sorts of organizations, Centers for Independent Living, other agencies such as the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, that respond to disasters, to help ensure that that preparedness information, that response plans, that recovery plans integrate the unique needs of individuals with access and functional needs. There are financial resources, there's training resources out there, there are response teams that are actually made up of individuals who have disabilities, and you know, and are able to, just because they have a disability doesn't mean they can't help out after a disaster. So it's a piece that, you know, preparedness is for everyone. Everyone can do their part to be prepared.
Well, what you're talking, so, you know, what's coming to my mind, and I know I'm going to come off probably the wrong way saying this, but there's the people who actually have special needs who you're trying to say, you know, why don't you be prepared too? Because you could help and learn and everything. And I totally agree. And then there's those people that, even when I think it was with Sandy, I'm not sure if it was Irene, but where they were out in the islands and they decided to stay there and just like take chances and stuff, and then cause all of the people who are risking their lives to have to risk their lives. Like, that makes me crazy, because you guys are doing so much work to just say, you know, just get your bottled water ahead of time. You know, find out what your school system's saying. Make sure you're a little bit thoughtful to the other people. And then there's those that just, well, hold, you know,
you take know, all the... Interestingly, speaking of which, we had an exercise a few months ago with the community and volunteers of access and functional needs and the disabled community and so forth, as an overnight exercise. And it was just phenomenal. There's no reason that folks who have disabilities should not be welcomed into a shelter or a facility like that. Whereas some people think, well, we can't take care of these individuals because, gee, they've got an oxygen tank or they're in a wheelchair. So our push has always been now, or is now, that these need to be integrated, and that entire community, we're so behind that entire direction that it's the individual who's in the wheelchair, he or she knows what they need. And if they have an attendant, what that person needs, and they are contributing to this effort now to have the community provide shelter and provide water and so forth to everyone within the community. It's not the community and
except,
then those people.
Except those people. Yeah, it is. It is the 25% is a significant number. So, yeah. You know,
and
like
interestingly,
you say,
as we age, guess what? Oh, we're all going to have disabilities of some shape. We're going to make it. If we make it, we're going to be happy with it.
What a downer.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. So true.
And in the end, when an emergency happens, when a disaster occurs, individuals make choices. And as you said, sometimes, you know, the choices that individuals make are not the choices that you and I would make. Part of the way that we as FEMA and as a community change that is through this preparedness education. FEMA has a number of programs that where we send teams into schools to educate children about being prepared. And, you know, and studies have found that when you start with school-aged children to change behavior, that behavior change stays throughout life. You know, think about how we changed the perception around drinking and driving. Those messages started in school in when I was in middle school, and it became kind of, we shouldn't be doing that. By the time I was driving, there was no question about, you know, whether I should drink and drive. So those programs, and I'm blanking on the names, Art. But we do that a lot. We have teams across the country that go into schools. Other voluntary agencies have similar programs. The idea is to encourage kids a couple of things. First, that to help them understand that they have some control in this chaotic situation by being prepared, mm-hmm. and then showing them what they can do, helping them to teach their families, helping them to understand how to make the smart choices about dealing with adversity, dealing with disaster, and it works really well. The kids love the training and education,
and I think it must help them. Not only just preparedness for the functionality of being prepared, but also for that when chaos happens, they have a confidence level.
Exactly.
Yes.
One of the big things is we do actually two programs. One's called FEMA for Kids, which is elementary school. And then we have what they call Ready, Steady, Strong, which is through the high schools and colleges. One of the things that has come out of it that we found out and that I've seen with the Sandy is that especially with the elementary school kids, you know, you talk about, like you did in the weather before, you know, we may have showers. Well, a couple of months ago or a year ago or whatever, right after Sandy, if you were to say it's going to rain and the winds may be, you know, a little strong, they don't know what to do. It's like, oh, my God, here it comes again, and they think the worst.
We're not going to have any power.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have any power. We're going to leave our house. Mm-hmm. Our house is going to flood. The roof is going to come off. I mean, early on, we had children in the classes that were, you could see them tearing up. You know, they were scared. When you're done with the program, especially when you teach them about the, we call them go kits. We try not to use the word emergency or disaster. And
so
you
thoughtful.
Say, you've got a go kit.
There's so much power, but there's
the
a method
thing.
To the madness type
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we also try not to use the word Sandy too much because people know about that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what happened was we would teach them what to put in it. And I tell this is a fast story, is I have a granddaughter who at that time was like 4 or 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it, and she's got a go kit. So one day I decided to go into the closet and see just exactly what she had packed. And she has a little backpack. And in it was a T-shirt, one sneaker, and a stuffed animal. Hmm. Now, obviously, her parents have the go kit in the front hall closet. But if anything happens, she's got her kit.
That's great.
She's really ready. Oh, she also has a flashlight. But that's so she has to get up in the middle of the night. She doesn't walk into a wall. But the idea being, I'm prepared. Like
right.
you were saying, Kurt, you know, this is something that mom and dad are going to be there for me. But
you
I can.
A little control.
You also mm-hmm. see it in the high school. Mm-hmm. And the high school children, actually, students are even more wondrous in a way because they're trying to hide their feelings. I'm 16. I'm too cool to be scared. But inside, it's like jello. So now they've got something they can grasp onto. They've got a higher learning ability on this, and they can kind of grasp this with both hands. And you can see the stress level just coming down like crazy. So there's a lot of good things that come out of
it is
just
true.
The teaching.
Yeah, the learning of it and the improvement for the betterment of the everything mm-hmm. in the way, and the future, you know. You just don't know you have a problem until you have one sometimes, right?
Yeah, and, you know, addressing through preparedness, you know, building resiliency reduces the psychological impacts of a disaster or an emergency. You know, as Art was saying, there are studies out there that show the effects of helping people to understand and be prepared and feel like they have a little bit of control, and how that helps them emotionally deal with the disaster that occurs. You know, there's the FEMA programs are great programs. There are many organizations out there that do similar programs. I would encourage, you know, community school systems out there to reach out and integrate them into their programs, whether it's the FEMA for Kids program or the Ready, Steady, Strong program. Red Cross recently has launched a pillowcase project, which is similar to the FEMA for Kids. I know the Salvation Army has a project. So there are many things out there. And again, they're not cost intensive programs. And in this day and age, when we're all looking at what's that bottom line, what's it gonna cost my school system, what's gonna cost me individually, there are many resources out there to help people get ready and become more resilient that are free. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be my pitch for folks to take a look at the FEMA's or the U.S. government's Ready.gov site. Mm-hmm. Ready.gov is the go-to site for information that FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. government have put together about how to be prepared for disaster, how to deal with the impacts, whether it's a physical, whether it's a psychological, whatever that impact would be of disaster. There's the four key areas. You know, be informed, make a plan, build a kit, be involved. They're all laid out there. There's a special section for kids, and there's a section for businesses, which Art will talk about. And then that goes into specifics about different disasters. So if, for example, if you had just moved to Western Tennessee has got a significant risk for earthquakes from the New Madrid Fault. If you just moved there, you might not know anything. If you lived in New Jersey, just moved to Tennessee, you might not know anything about earthquakes. So you can read up about what the impact of an earthquake is, how to be ready, what's different about dealing with an earthquake than dealing with a Jersey flood.
Right.
There are some differences. Mm-hmm. You know, typically in a Jersey flood, you don't have to worry about the house falling down around you. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of resources and information and links to additional
information. And that's at ready.gov. And that is, I guess, a national program website. Mm-hmm. It's not just New Jersey based.
That's
so
correct.
You can see everything. We're going to go to our break right now. This is Talented People. It's 4:34 already on Wednesday, April 29th. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and you're listening into the New Jersey Sandy Recovery Executive Staff here, Kurt Weichrit. And he is the acting chief of staff.
Weichrit.
That's my thing. I have it here written, so I'm supposed to just read it. And I can't even do that. But anyway, and we also have Art Getz and Daryl Havich, and they've both been here before, and they're going to be with us in just a minute or two. Stay with us through the news. We'll be right back.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Baltimore police just held a news conference on the riots and the imposed curfew. The city was relatively calm last night, and they're hoping for the same today.
Our sincere hope is that we see what we saw yesterday, which is people coming together in a peaceful manner, and if they so choose, voicing their concerns and their frustrations in a way that's reflective of the city of Baltimore and what we've seen over the last 24 hours.
That was Captain Eric Kowalczyk, but some residents claimed to be out after curfew last night, like protester Sean Burnett.
We want change, we want systemic change, and that we won't go away until that happens.
Meanwhile, people have gathered outside of Camden Yards cheering on the team. The Orioles are hosting the White Sox at what is believed to be the first Major League Baseball game played without fans in the stadium. In the interest of safety, the Orioles have moved their weekend games to Tampa Bay. This is USA Headline News.
Would you wait several days for your shower to get hot? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long.
Ugh.
But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect?
Uh-uh.
When you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin. powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
What does it look like to engage the intersection of work, faith, and culture in daily life? A partnership between the Kern Family Foundation and Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary has opened the door for us to examine this question through the Intersect Project. Intersect offers a hub of robust resources, including free courses, discipleship books, video content, and more to help believers navigate day-to-day topics like vocation and family through the lens of the gospel. Featuring reputable speakers, teachers, and writers on culture and Southeastern's own faculty, we want to create conversation about today's culture. Come and join the conversation at intersectproject.org.
Japan's prime minister has again sidestepped the comfort women issue during his speech to Congress. AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
Lawmakers from both parties were hoping Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe would use his historic speech to a joint meeting of Congress to apologize for his country's wartime practice of providing women to its soldiers who used them as sex slaves. While expressing deep remorse, Abe didn't use the word apology, acknowledging Japan's actions brought suffering to people in Asian countries.
We must not avert our eyes from that.
Later in his speech, Abe spoke of the need for a world where women are free from human rights abuses. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
Iran's foreign minister says his country and world powers will meet tomorrow to start bringing together elements of a draft on a comprehensive nuclear deal. He says Iran expects sanctions to be lifted within a few days of the agreement. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
The call has gone out for safe drinking water in Nepal in the aftermath of the earthquake, and USA's John Clemens tells us something about meeting that need.
It's a new portable handheld water treatment unit created by Aqua Research. The device fits in a pocket weighing less than 4 ounces with a capacity to disinfect up to 80 gallons of water. Rodney Harrington is with Aqua Research.
I can find a source of water from a lake, river, puddle, stream, any type. Then this little device will make a disinfectant, and then pour that disinfectant into the water. You wait 30 minutes, typically, for it to kill all the microorganisms in the water, and it'll be safe to drink.
I'm John Clemens.
Republicans in Congress are moving ahead with their budget for the coming year. The 10-year plan calls upon lawmakers to enact major curbs on safety net programs like Medicaid and food stamps. Separately, the House was moving on a bipartisan bill funding veterans programs. The White House is threatening a veto because of the GOP plans to boost the Pentagon's budget while ignoring pleas to increase domestic programs. The European Commission president says it was an error to have ended Italy's migrant search and rescue effort last year and to have left one country alone to bear the mission's costs. The Italian emergency operation was phased out late last year. It was expensive and politically unpopular. An estimated 1,700 people have died so far this year fleeing war and poverty in the conflict-torn Libya for a better life in Europe. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And you're also listening now to Talented People again. This is our show. It's on Wednesday afternoons from 3 to 4 and 4 to 5. And we're celebrating that we are the number 2 show out of 37 that we just thank you. We're very excited. And we are thanking you all, listeners out there, because it has been a very enjoyable 3 years now. And we've had such talented people on the shows as we do right now. The New Jersey Sandy Recovery Team, executive team, are here in studio. And we're learning more about preparedness. Right now, Art, you're going to speak to the business sector for a moment or two. Tell us what you're working on.
Well, right now, the main crux of our information that we're giving out is really for the future. Sandy is, unfortunately, it hit, but it's in the rearview mirror. I mean, there's a lot of people that still have a lot of recovery to do, and we're not trying to dismiss it in any way, shape, or form. But what's done is done, and we certainly don't want to repeat it if it's all possible. One of the things I got to mention, and it's just a kind of a segue from what Kurt was saying, but when he was talking about his wife doing the plan at home, it's a great story, but it's really a very important story because with business owners, you're going to get a lot of absenteeism after a storm because people are home. Even if they have to come to work, their minds are still at home if they're not sure if their family is safe and secure. By doing what Kurt and his wife did, it's one less thing that you have to worry about, and you can go to work and concentrate on your job, especially if it's in emergency management, but if it's in anything else also, you can concentrate on what you need to do, not wondering, the lights are out, is, you know, what's going on there? Are they safe?
You know, need this as much help as you can get, yeah, so take advantage of yourself, really.
And we tell businesses, and they have no problem believing this, you know, your number one asset is your employees. Mm-hmm. And if they're not there, or if they're not there at 100%, your business isn't going to function at 100%. So, you know, that's one thing that we businesses
especially support. You do, like, you're right, because the small business is, it's a matter, all hands on deck, and there's got to be focus.
That's right.
And then the plan for preparedness for the business itself, because that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah.
And just to be able to make sure that you delegate out to your people and that people take responsibility for their own, you know, for what they have to do in order to help everybody get through.
Yeah.
It is tough.
It's really tough. I have a neighbor who works for Verizon, and he was up repairing the lines, which in and itself is a dangerous job.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still thinking, geez, my family doesn't have it. I got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's working 12, 15-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now the family was prepared. They went to their in-laws and all that, and everything was fine. But, you know, when you think of things like that, it's just not, okay, go to work and give 100%. You happen to have people at home. But mm-hmm. anyway, the other thing that we're really finding out more than anything else is, with Sandy being, I don't want to say over, but as I said, you know, it's been almost 2.5 years.
Rear view mirror. I like the way you said that.
Rear view mirror, yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are getting complacent in business. And it's like, it's over. It's done. I survived it. I'm trying to survive it. But I don't have to think about it. And I don't want to think about what might come in the future. I'm not ready for that psychologically. And what we're trying to do is to explain to businesses that, you know, now is the time, and it's not a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like a big summit meeting. There's things that you can do right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that come out is, I'm not ready for another one. I can't financially. I can't psychologically. I'm just not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to, you know, pray like crazy that nothing ever happens again. Well, if you start looking at it and you start thinking of, okay, let's put things in priorities. What can happen? Now, yes, there is fire. There is, you know, the water sprinklers go off and you get some flooding. The everyday things that actually are more frequent and more destructive in the long run and cost more money than the roof blew off the building.
Mm-hmm.
But start thinking about, okay, what do I really need to prepare for?
Right.
And here in the Northeast, besides the regular things that everybody has to, we have, you know, the hurricanes, we have nor'easters. We have blizzards. You should prepare for those.
I really agree with you. Like, people tend to get in, like, the same pattern. And so when it's kind of, like, out of the way and it doesn't feel threatening, then they go back to the same routines.
Well, you go back to it and you start thinking, like, okay, I can't prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have the time. It's too expensive. Well, you don't have to really worry about the lava flow coming down Main Street.
We're lucky.
We don't get that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yet.
Yeah, we're lucky.
Sorry, I'm just throwing it out there. You're convincing me to go back to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Tornado Alley.
If we're in Honolulu, we worry about that, but we don't worry about the blizzards.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm just saying is, you know, we very fortunately, knock on wood, don't get the kind of tornadoes they get in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that is down the priority list a little bit. So all of a sudden, that kind of pressure comes off. And you start thinking, what do I need? And what we suggest is, you know, the first thing is, take a look at your insurance policy. Is it what you think it is?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the world has it. If you own the building, you got one kind. If you're renting, there may be another. But there's a lot of things in the middle of it. For instance, we're sitting here in a radio station. If something happens here, is the radio station insured for our other three of us?
Mm-hmm.
We're not employees.
Right.
Is it insured for your little dog that you brought to work? Is it insured for the pipes that go off, or is that the landlord? You may be paying too much for insurance. You may not be paying enough for insurance. But we suggest that once a year, you sit down with your insurance agent, go over what you have, and know what you have.
So Art, I want to share two stories that I think underlie the importance of insurance, because this is a topic that the idea of insurance is a topic that's very close to my heart, because it literally can make the difference between living comfortably and struggling to recover after a disaster. There was an article in the Star Ledger about a month ago about an iconic diner in North Jersey that burned to the ground. And a few years before that diner burned to the ground, their fire insurance company came to them at renewal time and said, you know, in order for us to renew your policy, you need to replace the wiring in this 60-year-old diner.
Yikes.
And the owners, in the article, the owners talked about how they were going through a number of things in their business and personal life at the time, and they just didn't think about it. And they never thought about it again. And now you have the owners who are senior citizens who have lost everything because the only thing that's left of the diner is the sign out front. And they talk about it in the article, and it's a great story of the importance of, from a business perspective, mm-hmm. of have you looked at what are your risks and do you have the appropriate insurance for it? That's just as important in your personal life. I don't have a research statistic, but from my own experience, it takes twice as long to recover from a disaster if you do not have insurance for that disaster than it does if you do have insurance. And that's
not even probably the mental side of it.
No, yeah, I'm just talking.
Right, you're talking financial, replacing everything.
And
value.
You know, and it's yes, you know, I've talked about how there's all these things you can do that don't cost money. Insurance costs money, but it often costs less than you think it is. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I wanted to share those two stories, and then I'll get out and turn back to Art.
Well, we have to go to a real quick break. We have two quick commercials. We're here on Talented People. We're talking about Sandy preparedness and moving on, and actually putting those lessons learned into another place that we can take advantage of and make sure that we're ahead of the game instead of behind next time around. So stay back. We'll be right back.
Hi. I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the end of our show. We have about 10 minutes left on Talented People this afternoon. It's April 29th, and we're learning a little bit more about the preparedness plans from the top level here for the New Jersey Sandy Recovery Executive Team. And Kurt Weirich is here. He's the Acting Chief of Staff. And again, Art Getz, who's handling the private sector's businesses, and Daryl Habish, who's our media relations person on behalf of FEMA here today. So, gentlemen, tell us what else we need to know. We have 10 minutes left.
Yeah, the one thing that I'd really like to bring up, Gene, is there's a program that FEMA has. It's called America's Preparathon, and it's more of a continuing program, but we highlight it twice a year, one being April 30th and one being on September 30th. We encourage people, both businesses, community leaders, community organizations, private homeowners, families, all that, to get involved at schools. And it's very, very simple. It's free. There's no big thing to do. If you go to, again, ready.gov slash America's Preparathon, you will see this, and they're going to ask you to register. As I said, all you do is you put your name and your email and some very, very basic information. You will receive information on preparedness pretty much continually on what's going on, just to give you ideas of what can be done. We encourage communities to help each other. One of the things, for instance, is I know with Sandy, I apologize, I forget the town that it was in, but there was a strip mall, you know, the dry cleaner, the pizzeria, the small business. They got hit by outages and right after Sandy, and they needed electricity. They knew they needed a generator, but the pizzeria can't afford a generator, so he's out of business. The dry cleaner can't afford one. Well, they went to the city and asked, you know, can we get one, how? And the city gave them the idea of how about pooling your money.
Oh.
So the three or four stores there got together, bought a generator amongst themselves, and they were up and back in business again, you know, a lot quicker. Again, it's the community effort helping each other. The Preparathon is full of stories and ideas, more to that.
I do know that I think it was Irene, I'm not sure, could have been Sandy, but I think it was Irene, that even here, the 100 in Chamber had, you know, provided services, mm-hmm. education, and information. And when something happened, a neighboring county actually lent their generators over to those that needed them, really, and you just needed to know where to go to find that out to be able to ask and borrow.
But the idea of it is of the Preparathon, and exactly what you're saying, it's don't wait until the storm hits and then say, where can I get a generator?
Right, right.
You know,
and then,
ahead
and
of time.
Don't assume that you can't afford it, you can't have one. You could actually find a service that is available that lets you, you know.
Or you know where you're going to make the phone call,
And
they're going to be there. Or you know which bus company to call when you got to get the kids out of school and you need more buses. Mm-hmm. You don't start hunting around at that time. Yeah. You know. So, as I said, the Preparathon is a national event. It is something that FEMA is promoting a great deal. It is in its, I believe, third year, although it might be the second. I'm not really sure about it. But the idea is to keep people informed because, let's face it, we all know communications is the most important thing to any kind of disaster, recovery, preparedness. If you don't know what's going on, it makes it much, much more difficult. So.
Especially to those people who are trying to help so much, like you all are. People who are organizing, the police officers and the firefighters.
Yeah.
They just need to be able to focus without the distractions of people who just don't take enough time to contribute to the good of the whole community.
And it also coordinates it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need, as I'm sure both Daryl and Kurt can attest to, you know, when Sandy hit and all of a sudden you're sitting there with 50,000 blankets, it's wonderful, but I only need 20,000. You know, clothing comes in like crazy. Aye. Well, I don't need it all, but I could sure use some ice.
Yeah, exactly.
To have the coordination.
And can I just kind of mention, along with with all of the preparedness messaging, is that people, when they go to FEMA.gov, FEMA has a new app or a revised app that
really?
You can install on your phone, and it will give you live weather updates and warnings specific to actually any place in the country that you want to put in, but certainly to your home and your business areas. I have it installed. It's very unobtrusive, but when you need it, it will tell you when the storm's coming, especially the weather alerts. I mean, they're mm-hmm. awesome, but there's all types. There it is. Kurt's looking at it on the computer right now. It is just about everything you want to know, and it's mobile, and it's new. So install it.
That's great. You guys are making a lot of progress.
you stole the thing I was going to mention also.
I'm a good staff member, Kurt.
So, you know, as I think about, you know, final messages, you know, Mother Nature held on, but we are out of winter season. She seemed to hold on to almost the last week. You know, we're now moving out of spring forest fire season as plants and trees start to bud. We're now into allergy season. We're getting ready for looks like we're through spring flood season. Tornado season, generally New Jersey only gets a couple F0, F1 tornadoes in a given year, so it's not big. We're obviously getting ready for hurricane season, which is, you know, the next kind of big season. The reason I'm saying all that is that first of all, that hazards are a continuum. that, you know, depending on the time of year, there are certain things that are more prevalent or less prevalent. Other things are can be a hazard throughout the year. So your preparedness should be a continuum throughout the year. We like to talk about one of the reasons we do Preparathon on April 30th is that's a good way to, you know, that's right in the middle and right before a lot of the big danger season, so to speak, in the disaster world, mm-hmm. spring tornado season in the Midwest, coming up on hurricane season along the coast, things like that. So it's a good time to really get people jazzed up. But individuals and businesses should be and can be doing preparedness activities throughout the year mm-hmm. To get themselves, to get their businesses, to get their families ready for any sort of disaster or adversity that might strike them.
I do think that on behalf of the consumers out here that you guys are trying to share and bring information to, one thing that I feel that I know I've learned, I think I speak on behalf of most of our listeners out there, is that we won't not go get the water before when we hear about it coming. And then again, the whole thing where the leaves are heavy, and if the snow or freezing gets on the leaves, then they break and then the power lines go down. Because that was something that was, I think it was Irene that Irene. Was actually yep. that, you know, we were watching the television and I'm like, I kind of got the visual and then it happened. And I was like, now I'm never going to know what's happening next time. I'm going to prepare for the worst. And I'm going to leave everybody with one last kind of funny story. This is a very serious matter. You know, all the work that you do for preparedness and the follow-up from Sandy and everything. And I want to thank you all for being here, everybody out there for listening, really. And you're more than welcome to come back whenever you like. I will always laugh at one thing that I remember very, very much from Sandy was that in the chaos, when I went to the grocery store, I was one of the last people who had gotten there. So literally, I wish I would do anything to have a photograph of the bread section. It was completely empty. Every shelf was gone except for this one brand. And there was like 10 of the same brand. And I was like, I would do anything to have a picture of that. Because the manager of the store must have been like, really? They don't like
choice.
That bread. Yeah, they did not like that bread. So anyway, okay, last you have a minute and a half left. Let's say goodbye to everybody.
Well, thank you for having us on today. It was great sharing information about preparedness with you.
So great to meet you.
Yes, thank you very much. It was a pleasure being here and enjoyed it as we have in the past, and hope to see you soon.
Yes, we can look very forward to that.
Well, Jeannie, I just want to say again, I mean, you've really been an important part of this process of recovery. We appreciate it so much, getting the word out, not just in Hunterdon, but as internet radio. You go across the country. There are people listening, and we know this, in other states that want to know what the recovery process is or the recovery stage. Here in New Jersey, they may be living in Phoenix or Florida. We've heard from people that have listened to you, and we sincerely appreciate it. We'd love to come back.
You're always welcome. Thank you so much. I appreciate that very much. And all of you out there listening, making this all possible to share this information out there. So have a great week. We'll see. We'll talk to you again on Talented People next week. And don't forget to watch the television station, Talented People Online. You can watch that from Princeton Television Channel 2945. Have a great week.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Baltimore police just held a news conference on the riots and the imposed curfew. The city was relatively calm last night, and they're hoping for the same today.
Our sincere hope is that we see what we saw yesterday, which is people coming together in a peaceful manner, and if they so choose, voicing their concerns and their frustrations in a way that's reflective of the city of Baltimore and what we've seen over the last 24 hours.
That was Captain Eric Kowalczyk, but some residents claimed to be out after curfew last night, like protester Sean Burnett.
We want change, we want systemic change, and that we won't go away until that happens.
Meanwhile, people have gathered outside of Camden Yards cheering on the team. The Orioles are hosting the White Sox at what is believed to be the first Major League Baseball game played without fans in the stadium. In the interest of safety, the Orioles have moved their weekend games to Tampa Bay. This is USA Headline News.
Would you wait several days for your shower to get hot? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect?
When
you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
What does it look like to engage the intersection of work, faith, and culture in daily life? A partnership between the Kern Family Foundation and Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary has opened the door for us to examine this question through the Intersect Project. Intersect offers a hub of robust resources, including free courses, discipleship books, video content, and more to help believers navigate day-to-day topics like vocation and family through the lens of the gospel. Featuring reputable speakers, teachers, and writers on culture, and Southeastern's own faculty, we want to create conversation about today's culture. Come and join the conversation at intersectproject.org.
Japan's prime minister has again sidestepped the comfort women issue during his speech to Congress. AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
Lawmakers from both parties were hoping Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe would use his historic speech to a joint meeting of Congress to apologize for his country's wartime practice of providing women to its soldiers who used them as sex slaves. While expressing deep remorse, Abe didn't use the word apology, acknowledging Japan's actions brought suffering